But we find ourselves in Matthew in the 13th chapter. And before I read the parable, I want to kind of explain a few things. What happened in Jesus' life that brought us to this point? Because in his ministry and how he started it, there was the first year of his ministry, and it was extraordinary. People had no idea who he was. He was doing wonderful things. He was telling them things, as in the Beatitudes. Let's see if this works. Ah, it did work. Thank you, Ryan. He gave us the Beatitudes, all right? And he spoke very openly. He just said it, okay? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. It was very open dialogue with the people he was talking to. These are seeds. He was planting seeds. He was telling people the right way to live their lives, okay? The next thing he said was very open. He told his disciples, he told his people, another seed. You are the salt. You are the light. This is what the kingdom is about. Okay? Salt is good for preserving food. So if you're salt in a culture, that seed of salt, you have preserving action. Okay? If you're light in a culture, you're illuminating what's going on. That's part of the seeds. All right? He spoke it very plainly. He also spoke about fasting and prayer, more seeds. Okay, in that culture at Jesus' time, people would normally fast and they did pray. But he told them how to properly fast and how to properly pray. Another seed. Okay, and we just prayed the Lord's Prayer. He taught us how to pray. He also taught us about the cure for anxiety. So all these things that he's bringing forth in the first two years of his ministry, he spoke openly, very openly. And some of the other things he did at that time was he healed diseases. I don't know, that might be a little hard to see, but Jesus is in a room with a little girl, and he's healing. He healed people of blindness. He healed people of leprosy, of arms and stuff. Very open, okay? And finally, oh, I didn't forget this one. He cast out demons. He cast out demonic influence in people's lives. Very open, happened right there in front of people, and people knew exactly what was going on, okay? Cast out demons. He helped people. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He brought people back from the dead. Nothing hidden about that. Okay? Very open. It happens. If somebody... Let's take Mitch. I'm going to use Mitch as my example. And he's laughing here, but I like to pick on him because he's easy. If Mitch walked into a funeral home, okay, and put him out of business by raising that person from the dead, that would be newsworthy, wouldn't it? That would be something. Now, just think if all of us were doing that, raising people from the dead, you'd put the funeral business right out of business, and then they would be mad at you. Those darn Christians are causing problems again. But Jesus was very open in what he did. And finally, this is when everything changed. This is when things changed in Jesus' ministry. He rebuked the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time, because they said, oh my goodness, he's doing all this stuff by Beelzebub. He's doing this because, you know, he's got a demon in himself. They did not see what Christ was doing. They didn't want to see it. And from this point forward is where we start getting the parables. Let's look at the players in the parables. first player we have is God. God gives the seed, okay? God has been giving these seeds out since the beginning of time. He gave it to the prophets and the wise men of the Old Testament, and they wrote it down. They tried to tell it to people. A lot of times people didn't listen. But the seed was given. The seed is the Word of God. The seed is the gospel. And Jesus spoke about the seed. It is the good news that changes people's lives. That Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. He was crucified, dead, and buried. And on the third day, He rose again. That is the gospel. That is the seed that we give to people. So where do we get the seed from? We get it from God. Did you ever realize that when a farmer's casting his seed out there, he's very careful with how much seed he plants? They have big machines now by John Deere, and it's all filled with seeds in the hopper, and it'll go through the field, and it'll put seeds in a certain place, like, say, corn. It plants that corn. But Jesus is saying here, cast your seed widely. The sower is throwing seed all over the place. Everywhere. And let's look at the sower. Who is the sower? Well, in this particular parable, it's Jesus. He's the sower. And He's been doing it since the beginning of time. Now, He's really intently doing it in His earthly ministry. He went out and He talked to many different people. He talked to the woman by the well. Just a woman. She came down to get water. And He opened up the conversation by, woman, could you please give me a drink? And she was a Samaritan. And it surprised her. And she said, oh, you're a Jewish man. Why would you even ask me for a drink of water? Opened the door. And He explained the gospel to her. The seed. So Jesus is the original sower. And He's been doing that since the creation of the world. Now, this parable that's been written is because people weren't listening. Now, if you look through the 2 years of Jesus' ministry, you would think that He would have thousands and thousands of followers. He didn't. People saw Him doing the miracles, heard the sermons, the Beatitudes, and they became one of the soils that we're going to discuss. And you're going to find that in your own ministry. When you go out to talk to people, you're going to find one of four soils. Excuse me, I seem to have a tickle in my throat this morning. And at this point, we're going to read the parable of the sower. I don't want to lose that. Starting in chapter 13... And I pray, Father, that You would add a blessing to all of us here upon the hearing and the doing of Your Word. That day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. And a large crowd gathered to Him. So He got into a boat and He sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And He spoke to them many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell in rocky places, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. Others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So Jesus gave this parable, and He was talking about something they would all understand, sowing of grain. But I want you to realize in here, that Jesus, the sower here, is just throwing his grain everywhere. He's throwing it on the path of the road. He's throwing it in the thorn bushes. He's throwing it on rocky soil. He's casting it all over the place. But then some of it landed on good soil, and it produced a great harvest. Now, the disciples didn't quite have an understanding of this. They were probably wondering why Jesus is now talking to the crowd in parables. So they asked for an explanation. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." So he's explaining to his disciples what is going on. In the prior 2 years of his ministry, he openly did and told and showed. But the people didn't want to see it. Well, not all of them, but some of them. "Why, thank you." I'm getting a frog. Is there a frog in my throat? It's starting to reverberate all over the place. Let's try a little water. Thank you. While I was drinking that, I was thinking, you know what's going to happen next? I'm going to get some down the wrong pipe and I'll start coughing all over the congregation, because that's how things usually go with me. Oh. So Jesus being the sower, okay, he's sowing. He's sowing. And he's trying to explain to these people in the parable of the sower of what's happening to them. And he explains it to his disciples very well. Now, in Jesus, as the sower, he came to this earth the first time not as a conqueror, okay? The King of Kings won his victories by persuasion and patience. His is the way of kindness, and he allows time for growth. And that's sort of what this parable is talking to us about. When you cast your seed, do you expect it to spring up instantaneously? Sometimes it does. And we have one of the soils we're going to discuss. But it takes time, and he had time, he had patience. "Surely it is worthy of our serious consideration that the word is planted and not handed down from a throne. A harsh forcing of agreement is so characteristic of a dictator, has no part in Jesus' ministry." You cannot beat people over the head with the Bible. How many of us have tried doing that? Tried that. Doesn't work. The harder you beat, the thicker the skull gets. Right? It happens. And what do? Well, we beat harder. Huh? They've got to learn. We've got to save them. You're not saving. So Jesus is patient. When looking at how the sower sowed his seeds, we sort of have a divine carelessness there. Isn't there a divine carelessness? I mean, Jesus said they're broadcasting seed everywhere. I mean, it's going all over the place. You know how most people, you know, in the old days would plant seed, they would do it like this. I see a picture of this. I mean, throwing it. bunches of it. Oh, there's a road. Let's throw some on there. Throwing it all over the place. In three instances of the seed being broadcast, it was lost and produced nothing. Remember the three? We have the hard road. Didn't produce anything. Birds got it. Then we have the rocky soil. Really not much depth of soil. Sprang up real quick, but as soon as it started to get hot, withered away. Then you have the thorn bushes. Choked out all the seed until you finally get to the good soil that produced. It says in the scripture, as he sowed, some seed fell among the path, and the birds came and devoured it. This is a picture of ground packed down hard on the defeat of men, under the feet of men, I'm sorry. The constant passing of people has beaten the path so that the seed remains on the surface, unable to take root. The birds came and ate it up. We're also there. I forgot this picture. But we're also the sower of the seeds, as Mitch is with the Gideons. Each one of us has the eternal seed of the gospel, and we plant it everywhere. Now, Jesus said we're to throw it all over the place. That means no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, you could be in Walmart, Kmart, you could be at a restaurant, you could be at school, at work, you could be anywhere. We're the sower of seeds. And I guess we're supposed to throw it on hard paths too. When the birds come, in the explanation it says the birds came and they're the devil. On that hard path that people have such a hard skin, such a hard crust, that they're not going to be fooled by anything you're saying because you're one of them crazy Christians. Right? Who here is a crazy Christian? I'm a crazy Christian. I'm crazy for the Lord Jesus Christ. He has done everything for me, and He keeps doing it for me. So when I tell other people about what He's doing in my life, they're like, yeah, right. Yep, one of those holy rollers. Yep, that's him. Crazy. But what does the devil do? He comes along. Now, he looks like most people think of the devil as horns, red face, snarling, you know, bright eyes, and he's going to come and he's going to get you. Right? But a lot of times he comes as an angel of light and snatches that seed out of a person's life. So that's one of the soils we're looking at, a hard, crusty soil. I'll save that for next week. We can just take that off. Yeah, I'm not going to use the rest of that next week. So as we're looking at the hard, crusty life, what happens to that person? The people you run into, the first soil, so to speak. They've been beaten down really hard, especially by our culture now. And they might have grown a little older, because you ever wonder how little kids are so open to the seed planting of the gospel, okay? You get somebody who's maybe lived a couple of years and they've made mistakes and they're not going to be taken in by any huckster anymore. You know what I mean? They got this crust over them. They're self-reliant. They know what they're doing. They know what they want. And you put a little seed on them and what happens? It kind of falls off. I've run into people like that in my ministry. I'm sort of a big E evangelist. All right? And I like to go out and I talk to anybody. Ran into two guys last night, sitting at a outside area, down there at the porch, went down to get something to eat, me and Amy and some friends. And while we were leaving, Amy and my brother-in-law and a friend of his, they were going to the car. And these two guys went, "Oh, you're a pipe smoker." And I went, door open, "All right, I'm going to have me some fun." Yeah. So I went right over and sat down. One guy, he was smoking a cigar. I'm going, "Oh, yeah, smoking a pipe." This is going, "What are you smoking?" So we got into a conversation. Till I left, we were talking about the Lord. Oh, yeah. I said, "Gentlemen, you are soil in my life. I'm preaching on the soil tomorrow, 10 o'clock, at Ebenezer School, the old Ebenezer School, New Covenant Christian School. Why don't you come on out?" "Well, we just might do that." I said, "I'll be praying that you do. Come on out." They didn't show up. I don't see them anywhere in here unless they're incognito. But there was soil there. And I had seeds. I had a whole pocket full of seeds. And it was so much fun. I got to the car and my wife said, "What were you doing?" I said, "I was talking to the two guys." "What about?" "Getting saved." My brother-in-law said, "Uh-huh, yeah, that's Dave." But it only took, what do you think, Amy? 5 minutes? 20 minutes. Oh, well, good. It was like 5 minutes to me, but it turned into 20 minutes for her because they're waiting in the car to go home. And I'm in there talking to people, two gentlemen. They were smoking cigars. I'm smoking my pipe. It got all nice and smoky. We were having fun. And I got to talk to them about the Lord. Now, I'm not sure what kind of soil they were, but I did get a response. They were open to talking to me. One guy had a libation. I think he was drinking rum straight up. And he had a nice smile on his face, too. So maybe that little bit of rum kind of plowed that hard crust open a little bit, I think, maybe. He wanted to sit and talk to me. But those are the people you're going to run into. You know what I mean? You're going to run into those hard, crusty people. One of the people that you run into are the evolutionists. Okay? There is no God. Everything started by a brain fart somewhere back in time. I mean, it just went boom. And it all started, and everything just magically fell into place. I'm not saying that all of them, okay? But if you get a person like that, they're the crusty person. They got that crust over them. They've had all this intelligence. They've read all these books. They have all these theories. They found all these bones. And they put them all back together, and they go, "Well, this is how it had to have happened." And those crazy Christians, oh, they're nuts. They believe in fairy tales. That's a hard, crusty person. And you give the gospel to them, and Satan will rob it right out of their lives. Unless God opens that crust, and only He can do it. So don't worry about trying to plant your seed on a crusty person. Do it anyway. It's fun. Let them get all worked up to the point that they're foaming at the mouth, their eyeballs are all teary, and they're calling you every name in the book because you're a Christian. All right? Great is your reward in heaven. You might take a little abuse here on earth because someone's calling you a dirty, rotten Christian, but great is your reward in heaven. Throw that seed out there. Have fun. Throw it on the hard soil. But the devil's probably going to take it. Doesn't mean you can't pray for them. I did write some things down that I wanted to tell you. The life with the hard surface, common enough with us, it is a secular life that has lost all sense of sacredness. This is a common condition today, for we have been moving in the direction of secularism for a long time. This has been going on a very long time, longer than most of us have been alive, okay? No matter how old you are here, this has been happening a very long time. Worship, when it's done right, stirs up our minds and our spirits so they do not get hard and brittle. The opening of the heart to the presence of God keeps them from getting cold and unfeeling. That's us. Life will cover us with a crust of selfishness unless we take some precautions to break the crust. We may find ourselves becoming less responsive to God and into our brethren. As the years pass, we can grow, we call growing up, excuse me, becoming wise. Perhaps it was the reason that Jesus said, you must become like little children. Remember he said that? He said, little children. When we become like little children, Alex. Now there's a little boy, okay, my Lily, my little Lily, you've seen her. She's a ball of fire. She is open to all kinds of things, except eating. We only eat certain, very rigid, straight. I'm not eating anything else. But children are normally open to new things, new experiences. And that's why Jesus told us that we must become like little children, so that we open ourselves up to Him in these moments of worship, in these moments of spreading seed, in these moments of living. Finally, we no longer are able to enter into the experience of humility and awe if you let that crust come upon you. And this is what's happening to those crusty people out there. They've got this crust. There's no awe for them. There's no, oh my goodness, look at this. Sometimes they might not even look at a beautiful sunset and go, praise you, Lord Jesus, what a beautiful sunset. He paints with such wonderful colors. Do you ever see that? Do you ever see ones in the morning? Who gets up early enough to see the sunrise in the morning sometimes? Oh my goodness. I'm going to work. I'm driving my truck. I'm like, oh, I gotta go to work. Oh, smoke my pipe. Oh my goodness, look at that sunrise. The oranges and the reds and then the blues in the background. I'm going, oh Lord, thank you. You helped me wake up. And you have this joy in your heart. You're open. Oh, the wonder, these are the people, and I feel sorry for them. The wonder passes them by. The doors of their hearts are closed to the miracles of human love. Terrible things happen to the man whose life is beaten down path. He has shut himself off from surprises that God would give him. He will never know the thrill of a new vision for the joy of an unexpected kindness. He will not be taken in, it is true, but he also lose his ability to take in. Albert Einstein said this in a book, of The World as I See It. He wrote this. Einstein had a wonderful, he was a Jewish man, scientist. Everybody knows Albert Einstein, icon. You know what I mean? He took us further in theoretical physics than anybody had before at that time. And we're still looking at his ideas. But he said this, the fairest thing that we can experience is the mysterious. It is the fundamental emotion which stands at the cradle of true art and true science. He who knows it not can no longer wonder, no longer feel, no longer have that amazement. He is as good as dead, a snuffed out candle. Next week, we are going to look at the next three soils. Pastor Rich did not want me to give you a turkey dinner. He said, this is a turkey dinner, and David, you're good at sermons on turkey dinners. He said, so don't do that. He said, you're going to preach two Sundays. So, I mean, he's been telling you all week long. I'm sitting in the audience, and he's going, David, yeah, I'm telling everybody you're going to do this. He gives me no door out, you know what I mean? Oh boy, I'll have to do something to him. Just kind of mess with him a little bit. Maybe I'll put coffee grinds in his pipe tobacco. He'd probably like that though. I'll have to get him a little bit. But as we come to the end of the sermon, I want you to think about what we're going to talk about next week. We all have soil within us called our hearts. Is there any crust forming on your heart anywhere? Are there any rocks in your garden? Do you have any rocks in your garden? Okay. Are there any thorn bushes in your garden where the seeds are being planted? I'm going to leave you with those thoughts, okay? Is your soil real good? Do you think your soil's real good? I want you to think about that. The pastor and I and all our Sunday school teachers and discipleship hour teachers, we're all putting seeds out there for you too. I want you to think about how your soil is. I'm going to leave you with that thought as I close the sermon for this week. And we'll all get together next week, and then as Harvey, what was his name? The rest of the story.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.